There are many things going on throughout the area, throughout northern Minnesota, including in Grand Rapids, because this is First Friday. We get a chance to check in with our friend Katie Marshall on the First Friday. She's the director of the McCroskey Art Center in downtown Grand Rapids. Katie, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So lots of things, as always, going on?
As always, yes. There's quite a list for this First Friday. I don't know.
And hopefully not. Is tonight possible snowflakes again?
Nah,
I don't think so.
There's no snow tonight.
I think we dodged that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blue sky. It's going to be beautiful weather.
Just wind. Do people traditionally wear hats to art openings? Fedoras or anything?
It'd be funny.
Because we'd have to tell them to cinch it up a little.
Gallery full of hats.
Hold on to your hat.
Yeah,
I think we
hold
can
on
say.
To your hat.
Yes. Well, there's a lot going on tonight. Oak Hill Assisted Living is going to have an opening. They have one of their residents, Allie Lehman, is presenting her artwork along with a number of her family members, Brenda Kleppe, Norm Arney, Rhonda Lehman, and then Allie and Hannah Gropeberg. So she's got her whole family of creative people there showing artwork, and that's from 4 to 6. Brood Awakenings, this month they're featuring Katie Elseth, who's an acrylic painter, and they'll have Mike Miller doing music from 4 to 6. They always have their dinner special and free coffee and cookies, so that's a great place to stop in to get some sustenance to carry you through the rest of the art walk. There's a lot happening in Central School this month. The artist-in-residence Annie Humphrey and Mary Corwin are up on the third floor, and they always have great work to show. And then there's a new business in Central School called Beauty and Bliss. It's a boutique and consignment shop, and they're going to be open. And they're also featuring an artist, Brian Miller, who does hand-blown glass, so he'll be there showing his work. True North Salon and Spa is going to be hosting a high school student artist, Michaela Smith, and they're also going to be doing tutorials of artfully applying gory Halloween makeup. So so it's never too early to start planning your gory Halloween makeup.
Yeah.
Across the street, Stained Glass with Class, Lisa Burkholt is going to be doing a demo of the art of glass fusing using glass frit. And if, like me, you don't know what that means, you should go check out her demo. Project Carefree Clinic is going to be showcasing a couple different hobby artists. Wayne Kyle is going to be showing his beaded bracelets, and Christine Piritano is a mushroom hunter, and she does nature photography, so she's got photography of mushrooms, among other things, in nature. Then Frame Up is super excited this month because they're hosting Betsy Snow, who's a Duluth artist, and she does mosaics and also really interesting collages. They're kind of whimsical and quirky, and they'll have Olivia Skaya playing violin music as well. Jenny and Company is hosting Heidi Geisler and her interior design service, Home by Heidi Geisler. Wings and Willows is showing the eclectic art of Janet Huffnagel, a Big Fork, who paints in oil, acrylic, watercolor, and lots of different things. And there is a new mural going up on the North Bank building.
That's what I hear.
Yes, so that's going to be its debut tonight. You can check it out as part of the art walk. It was commissioned by Grand Rapids Arts and painted by Leah Yellowbird, so you can check that out. And then, of course, the VFW has music from 7 to 10. They're doing a Sidney Bechet night with Tony Bailiff on clarinet and a special guest clarinetist as well. So that's a few things to keep you busy tonight. And then, of course, we have all the events at McCroskey Arts Center.
Before you go to McCroskey, where is Leah's... What building is it?
The North Bank building. So some may call it the old Ogles.
Yeah, okay.
If you've
yes.
been around a while.
Right up here.
Where Magnetation has their offices now. And
it's on the west side.
It's on the west side, facing the parking lot. So it'll have good visibility.
So is there like a big curtain over it right now?
No, we're not doing an official unveiling. It just went up yesterday at about 4 or 5, so most people probably won't have seen it till today. So.
Okay, very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, and now we get to McCroskey, and we sure appreciate you have brought in a guest. We'd love to meet him.
Yes, I am really excited this month. We have two great exhibits, as always, and in the McCroskey Gallery, we have photography by a very well-known Minnesota photographer, Wing Young Huey, and Wing is here in the studio with us this morning.
Great to be here.
Thanks for being here. So
Wing has actually been in town for a few days. We've been doing some different programs in the community. We spoke at the Blandon Foundation Wednesday night, and then we were at ICC yesterday for a couple different programs. He'll be heading to the Grand Rapids High School this afternoon. And then at McCroskey from 4 to 7, we have the opening reception for the exhibit.
So I've been seeing the chalkboards.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I am a Duluth native, born and raised in Duluth, so it's great to be in the area again. I've been a photographer for over 30 years, and I started photographing in Duluth, and I photograph everyday life in neighborhoods. A lot of it in Minnesota, but also around the country in different parts of the world. But after photographing, basically just walking up to people on the street and getting their story and talking to them and telling them why I'm photographing in their neighborhood, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I started to think that no matter how good the photograph is, it's still just a surface description. How can you create an image that gives a glimpse of what's below the surface? And I thought, well, I'll give people chalkboards. And I came up with a series of questions to ask, open-ended questions. Questions like, what are you? Not who are you, but what are you? Would you describe yourself by what you do, what you look like, where you're from, your beliefs, your hopes for the future? How do you think other people see you, and what don't they see? What advice would you give to a stranger? What advice have you earned? What has life taught you, and what do you want to pass on? And so in this project called the University Avenue Project, which culminated in a 6-mile exhibition along University Avenue in St. Paul, afterwards I started getting calls from schools, and I created a Chalk Talk curriculum in which students... and I've done this with all different age groups, and not just schools, but organizations and corporations. I ask people to pair up with someone in the room that they don't know and have a chalk talk. And I provide the questions. And the questions are conversation starters. When I do this in, say, middle school, students don't want to do this. They kind of groan. And I ask them, is this going to be difficult to talk to someone in your class that you normally don't talk to? Why is this going to be difficult? Student will say, because it's awkward. But what's the real reason? What are you worried about? I don't know the person, but what are you really worried about? Well, these are personal questions. Well, when it gets down to it, what most people are worried about is what the other person will think of them. And then I ask them, if you just talk to your friends the rest of your life, how far are you going to get? Even a sixth grader will realize, will say, yeah, you're right. You have to talk to people. So once they start doing this and they get to know each other and have a conversation that goes below the surface, then hopefully something comes up in this conversation. Makes you think about things a little differently. Not only do you understand something about that other person, you understand how you thought about that other person. And then you write something on the chalkboard.
So, Wing, I'm so entranced by this because questions are always on my mind. How I'm going to talk to people on the radio.
Yes.
What are the good questions that are going to get interesting answers? So that first one, what are you? What do people know what to say when you ask them that?
And does it take a long time to formulate their answer?
Mm-hmm. These are not easy questions to answer. It doesn't matter whether you're a sixth grader or you're a corporate executive. If you knew the answer to all these questions, you would know yourself pretty well. These are basic questions. These are questions in a way you answer every single day, but you don't really think about them. So I will ask, how many people have no idea what they are? A lot of people raise their hand. Doesn't even mean I'm a corporate executive. Still don't know. What are you? And does what you are, does it change? Can you be anything? How do you identify? What is your culture? Is culture where you're born? Can you adopt a culture? Can you adapt into a culture? So these are questions, I think, about identity that seem more pertinent now more than ever. We live in a very polarized society. And the idea of who gets to say what you are is probably the biggest dynamic in our society.
So the event, what you did in St. Paul, you just went up to people in the street, gave them a chalkboard?
Yep.
Huh. Well, my question to you is, as a photographer, I can't open this picture up, but I don't know what some of these... What did you try and take the photograph based on their emotions to the question?
Yes. When I'm photographing, I'm trying to translate this little bit of reality into this set of two-dimensional facts that we call photograph. And when you encounter someone, you are experiencing them with all of your senses. Smell, hear, emotion. But the camera doesn't, it only describes the surface. So you have to try to understand how the camera sees. Now, I take a lot of photographs. You never know which one's going to work. But I think about what they wrote. And how can I take a photograph that expresses what they wrote? Mm-hmm. Their expression, how they hold it, what's the light, the background. And this is the instruction I give to the students. Because once they do this chalk talk, then the next step is for them to photograph each other.
Oh.
And the photographs that I showed yesterday from students from all different age groups, places, rural, urban, so on, they're just as good as any photograph that I've taken.
Wow. Excuse me. We're talking with Wing Young Huey. He's at the Macrosti Arts Center. We're talking about Chalk Talk and some of the things that he does. So how, is it okay to ask you, what are you?
I think that in one sense, I have photographed thousands of strangers. And in some ways, I feel more comfortable around strangers than I do with my own family. I think that being the only non-immigrant in my family, and for most of my schooling in Duluth, I was the only Asian person in the entire school. And so the idea of what I am has been an ongoing question. I'm doing a current project now called Chineseness, which is really a way to answer that question. My mother, who raised me, 30 years in this country, she never learned to speak English. My first language, the first words that come out of my mouth was my mother's tongue, Toi San Wa, Southern dialect in Chinese. But I became formed by popular culture. In some ways, I was a tourist in my own family. Yet, I am a native Minnesotan. But my fellow Minnesotans didn't always think of me that way. When I was growing up, people would ask me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Duluth. Then they go, no, where are you really from? I said, no, I really am from Duluth. It's not a question that everyone gets asked. People are just trying to be friendly. They just want to start a conversation. But if you get that question a lot, what people are really saying, what they are implying, is that you are not one of us. We're just trying to understand what you are. So what I am is a way of, Chineseness is a way of answering that question. And what I'm doing is I'm collecting points of view and really looking at the broader society through the prism of Chineseness. Is identity personal, cultural, political? Does it migrate? When is it authentic? When is it kitsch? Is it imposed? I don't think you have to be Chinese to experience Chineseness. And hopefully anybody looking at this book can identify and find something in there that they will relate to and something that will contradict what they thought.
Do you learn something from all your subjects?
I think what I do is a form of social therapy. People tell me things I feel they don't tell many people. Maybe because I'm a stranger. Maybe because I'm interested. I asked. Especially with Chineseness. There are things I never talked about when I was growing up. Things I never asked my parents. Mom, why didn't you learn to speak English? I never got to ask her that. I asked another Chinese woman about the same age as my mom. I asked her that, and she told me in Chinese, translated by her daughter. And she said it just the way my mom would have said it. A little annoyed. What makes you think I had time to learn English while I was raising you? So I think most people they never talk to their parents. There are things that you grow up with about your family you wonder about, and you never give yourself the permission to ask. So I think people tell me things, and I learn from everybody. All of those thousands of interactions become part of my human experience. It's my way of normalizing the world.
You know, you could have had people write in a lot of different ways, but you chose chalk. What is it about chalk?
Well, I think visually, I wanted an old-fashioned chalkboard. And so, and then white chalk, because black and white, then the words will stand out more. If you use, like, say, white dry erase, it doesn't have the same feel. And I think also writing with chalk on a board or black construction paper is different. And the act of writing a private thought down, it does something to you. Once you commit it to that piece of paper or black, in classrooms you use black construction paper. But when you go out in the streets and you have a private message and you do it in a public way, knowing that I'm going to take your photograph and it's going to be displayed in some way, what does that do to you? It's a form of therapy.
Would you photograph somebody who wrote an incorrect spelling on a chalkboard?
Sometimes I feel that it's more authentic if it's misspelled. Sometimes I feel it means more when it's misspelled. I think misspelling now means something different than it used to be because of Twitter, because of email, because of people look at language differently. Most people misspell.
And also, young people don't write much anymore.
They don't write much, and so I think it's, I don't know, I think that that's something I talk to the teachers about.
Okay.
So if you want to make it a point about spelling, then if someone has something misspelled, sometimes they'll say, check with your partner and ask them if that's spelled right. So I try to get the pairs to work with each other and teach each other.
So your exhibit at the McCrossy is from the University Avenue?
No, it's from about a dozen different projects.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So it's a...
There's a lot
spanning
of
30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh.
And the artist talk tonight as well?
Yep. At 6 o'clock, we'll have a brief period of time for artist talks. And I should also put in a plug for our other exhibit in the Minnesota Gallery. We have a group show of pottery. And I had a local artist stop in and say, oh, wow, I expected the same old, and this is something really different. So it's a great show featuring five local potters. And music by Sam Miltich from 4 to 6, food by the Sawmill. And 6 o'clock, we usually do our artist talks. So that's on the plan for McCrosty tonight.
You can find more information at grandrapidsarts.org or mccrostyartcenter.org. Coming up, we're going to find out what's going on in the Ely area as well as Bemidji and Park Rapids. Wing, Katie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks. Great being here.
It's the morning show on Northern Community Radio.
It is time to continue the conversation about all the cool things going on throughout northern Minnesota. Ely Folk School is a place that on their website it says, I want to live in a society where people are intoxicated with the joy of making things.
Wow.
And they're doing that all the time. Joining us again is Molly Olson to tell us more about what's going on at the Ely Folk School. Molly, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So what's been happening?
Well, of course, snow, so that was kind of a shocker, but other than that...
Wait a minute, Molly, wait a minute.
You had snow.
Yeah, just a few it was just a muck, but it's going to cleave, and then we'll get some more good stuff.
Is it still on the ground as you speak?
Well, in town, no, but I really, probably in the woods, maybe out on... the Cushwee Falls Trail, there might be some snow in the woods. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Yeah. What's going on up there?
Well, this weekend, actually, we have a dance coming up on Saturday night at 7 p.m. with the Bootlickers. And they're a really great band that's coming from the cities, and they're an old-time string band. We also are having our quilt raffle drawing tonight, or I'm sorry, Saturday night. We're raising money for a kitchen project at the Folk School. You know, the culinary arts are huge around the world now. I mean, it's really cool to be a good cook. And we have a focus of making things that are sort of regionally, culturally important, like apple strudel and pasties and pizza. So there's actually an apple strudel class coming up Saturday, October 15th, taught by one of our board members, Mary Louise. I've talked about her before, and she's a really great instructor. You're learning how to do the strudel dough the old-fashioned way. Not the, you know, buy your store-bought phyllo dough. Right. So it's kind of cool. But right now she has to hold those classes at her home because we don't have a good kitchen facility. So we're really trying to fundraise for that project. And then we have some music offerings coming up. We have a songwriting class on Sunday, October 16th with Joey Kinnick. And he was here for our concert last month. We had a wonderful singer-songwriter concert with three performers, and it was a fabulous experience. So he's going to teach a little bit more about songwriting. And then the next day on Monday, Doug Lutheman is having Exploring Music with chords, melody, and lyrics. So those are two classes that are out there for music lovers. We also have our snowshoe lady, Peta Barrett. She's doing Lace Your Own Snowshoes. It's a three-day course, but at the end, you get your own set of snowshoes, and they're Ojibwa style. They're really quite wonderful. And, you know, we've had a very popular class here offered last year several times, and so it's back. And if you want to make snowshoes, it's a great opportunity.
Yeah,
and that's the 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Well, and it's time. We need to start making those snowshoes.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, today's the wake-up call here. And then we're having a custom moccasin class in November. It's coming up November 5th and 6th, which is going to be really neat. We have a bookbinding class October 29th and 30th, and there's also an herbalism class coming up right really quickly on the 11th, Tuesday the 11th, but it's focusing on immune support, which as we move into our winter, we know that's very important. So some really great offerings. And, of course, the dance Saturday night, if you, you know, at all want to get out and see other people and laugh and smile, that's a great opportunity.
And it's the Bootlickers, so, you said.
The Bootlickers, yeah. Very, I guess they're really good.
Very cool. So you can find information on these events at ealyfolkschool.org. That's Molly Olson. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot for having me, and have a great day.
You too. Coming up, we continue the conversation about events in northern Minnesota with Katie Carter.
It's the Friday Morning Show, and I'm Katie Carter. We continue our tour of the arts, and it is the first Friday in Bemidji. Today, at the least of these fair trade and handmade gift shop in Bemidji, you can see the chainmail and jewelry art of John Thoreau. So what the heck is chainmail, right? Well, it is not something you send to 10 people with a self-addressed envelope. It's actually jewelry and clothing made by connecting metal rings to one another. And up until about the 14th century, it was clothing as armor. When I think of it, I think of, well, like Monty Python movies, but I know it was much more serious than that. John's jewelry will be on display. That's at the least of these fair trade and gift shop in Bemidji, and I'll be talking to him later this month about how we got into that. Music provided by vocalist Alex Lundin at that event. At Gallery North, they'll be featuring the oil and acrylic and watercolor of artist Shirley Lee and also the photography of Carol Hoyam. At the Bemidji Library, they'll be featuring Grace Garland, who works in oils, acrylics, and watercolors. And at the Wild Hare Bistro and Coffee House, they'll be featuring the Wild Horse Fine Art Photography of artist Jesse Marianello. Her show is called The Paths That Lead Us, and I spoke with Jesse yesterday about her life as an artist. She's historically been an oil painter and a pet portraiteur, but her life and the As happens, the journey of life takes us on interesting routes, and over the past few years, she's been led in totally different directions. So next week on Area Voices, you can hear about how the spiritual power of animals has affected her and how she found her way out of her oil painting studio and onto the trail of seeking out wild horses across our country. And in the very near future, she's actually headed to Uganda. So stay tuned for next week's Area Voices. You can learn all about her journey, and it is pretty fantastic. So again, her work is at the Wild Hare Bistro in downtown Bemidji. Later this evening at the Rail River Folk School, Brothers Burn Mountain will be playing at 7:30, followed by Billy Dankert of the Gear Daddies, who will be performing with the Sancho's Four at 9:15, followed by the Dead Gypsy Project featuring Sonny Johnson at 10:30. Admission for that is $9, and it's a pretty good price for some pretty great music. Since it is the first Friday, and that's when we talk about arts events for the month, I want to mention that later in the month in Park Rapids, on the 22nd at the Nemeth Art Center, partnering with White Earth Nation and the Downtown Business Association of Park Rapids, will be hosting their first Take a Walk on the Wild Side, which is a wild rice festival. It'll be at Armory Square, and there'll be musicians all day and food all day created by area chefs. Well-known chefs, one of which is Amy Thielen, who actually has her own cooking show. So that's October 22nd, and should be great food and great music. And heck, what makes a better day than that? Tomorrow in Brainerd, there's a really cool show going on at the Franklin Arts Center, and it's called Sharing the Fire. And it's a collaborative show with seven potters. Over the course of the last several years, Hattie Hatticek, who's a Brainerd-based potter, has been hosting these huge firings out at her pottery studio called Black Bear Pottery, where all these artists come together and fire their wares in this huge outdoor kiln. Well, over the past several years, while they're waiting for the firings to get done, they've started building pottery together, and they've created these huge sculptures, all of which have kind of the thumbprint of all these different potters on them. Those sculptures will be featured at the Franklin Arts Center tomorrow from 10 to 3, and then throughout the month of October as well. So it also, there'll be seven other, or the pottery from all the seven other potters will be featured as well. So that will be a great show if you're into pottery or really just into cool stuff and taking a break from reality. So check that out at the Franklin Arts Center. Lots going on around the region. I always say, if you are bored in northern Minnesota, you just haven't stepped outside. So get outside, check out the creativity in our region, and while you're out and about, you can take in the fantastic art that only Mother Nature is giving us these days. That's what I've got from Bemidji. Happy First Friday.
That was Area Voices with Katie Carter, made possible in part by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.